Yeah, as Stefan said, we're in the middle of a three-week series on membership. And last week, John opened with a message all about being found in God's love. And how great is it that we have this Father God in heaven who has been pursuing a relationship with us since before the start of time. I think it's amazing. You know, through Jesus and what he did on the cross for us, we have each been adopted into God's family, a spiritual family, if you like. Just take a brief second or two, just to have a quick glance around the room this morning. Just have a good look at the people around you. Don't feel uncomfortable, everybody. You know what? Some of the people in this room, you might know really, really well. Others you might recognize, but you're not really friends with them. Some people you might not even recognize at all. But regardless of that fact, did you know that when we come together as followers of Christ, we are family? We are children of our Father God, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 John 3:1 says that God has extended marvelous love to us. We're called his children. This is who we really are. So in other words, we're no longer a group of people separated perhaps by our family backgrounds or different cultures or countries that we come from. We're brought together in his love and we are family. Ephesians 2:19 puts it like this. It says, "You are members of God's very own family, citizens of his country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian." And you know, contrary to popular belief, the church is not a building and the church is not an institution. The church is a group of people who are connected to one another through relationships. And so this morning, we're going to just explore what it means to be found in his home, in particular what it means to be found in this family and how we get to choose to belong in this home. You see, each of us have been created for relationship. We've been designed to do community with one another. We can see this in the Genesis story when God created Adam and Eve. God created man and he saw that it was not good for man to be alone. And so he created for man, it says, a companion, a helper, somebody who was suitable for him. And God created Eve. And so similarly with us, God has created a deep desire within each of us for real and meaningful relationship together. But here's the thing, we have a choice as to how we choose to participate in those relationships. And you know, John touched on last week the fact that we live in a culture of individualism today. And simply by that, you know, the culture around us promotes values of self. Everywhere. It's all about self-promotion, it's about self-help. There are millions of self-help books and self-help sections in Waterstones. You know, our culture promotes values of personal freedom as being more important than anything else. And so, you know, that culture coupled with the fact that, you know, many of us have experienced hurt and pain within relationships, perhaps relationships even within our own families, it can sometimes make it difficult for us to choose to participate in and to actually build the types of relationship that God has intended for us. And so, you know, I think as Christians, we all know that life is meant to be about loving God and loving others, but many of us, if we're real, we struggle in this area. You know, interestingly, Willow Creek Church, I'm not sure who's heard of Willow Creek, but it's a huge influential church in the United States. And many years ago, they did a big nationwide survey across thousands of churches in the United States. And of many things that they found, one thing that they found was that despite those churches running lots of different programs, varied programs to help people connect and to help people grow, a huge percentage of people were doing their spiritual life alone. They were doing it solo. They actually lacked the very relationships that they needed within God's community in order for real spiritual transformation to happen in their lives. And you see, the thing is, God has intended for us to have a personal relationship with him, 100%, but he never intended for that relationship to be private. And so why is it important that we, that each of us, that you and I, make the effort to build relationships here, in this place, in this church community? Well, firstly, I'd like to suggest that we need relationships within this place in order to discover God's purpose and potential for our own lives and also for his world. You know, God's plan for your life is so much bigger than you believe it is. But we need one another in order to fulfill it, to find it. Helen Keller once said, "Alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much." And the Bible puts it like this in Ecclesiastes 4:9, where it says, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work." In the New Testament, we see that Paul uses the metaphor of the human body to describe our relationships together. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we read, "Just as your body has many parts, it has limbs, organs, cells, no matter how many parts you can name, you are still one body." And it's exactly the same with Christ. We each used to, by means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots. But here's the turning point. The scripture says, "But then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say on everything." So each of us is now part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. I love that verse and those verses. You know, just as it's true for the organs of our body to have to stay connected to our body in order for them to fulfill their purpose, so it is for us within the church, because we're each significant. We each have a part to play, but our part finds its meaning and its purpose as part of the whole, not the other way around. You know, the truth is you belong here, connected in this family, in this home. And did you know that the word belong literally means to be in the right place? And I know that sounds obvious, but you know, when we realize that we're in the right place, it kind of changes things for us. And actually, you know, just knowing that we're in the right place changes the way we see one another, and it changes the way we see ourselves. And you know, decline in our spiritual life often starts with disconnection. You know, when we choose to disconnect ourselves from church community, actually what we're doing is we're choosing to disconnect ourselves from the very relationships that God has placed us in order for us to discover our purpose in life. And so the Bible says in 1 Ephesians 23, the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. You and I, we're Christ's body together. We are how he has chosen to act, and by which he fills everything with his presence through us coming together. Oh, thank you. Thanks, I'm just going to have a sip of that. Dry mouth syndrome. My husband will be saying that's because I've got too many words, which is true. Too many words to get out in a short space of time. But you know, the truth is, as God's chosen community, we have purposeful work to do together, developing maturity in one another and actually bringing about God's love and his healing and his restoration to the world around us. You know, secondly, I think it's important that we invest in relationships in this place, because we need to do that in order to be fruitful and to grow. Because God's plan is never that you live a small and insignificant life. His plan is for your life is big, and his plan is that you would put down roots and that you would grow and that you would flourish. Psalm 92:13 says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of God. They will bring forth fruit in old age, and they will be fat and flourishing. You know, and personally, I want a little bit less of the fat, if I'm honest, but I want lots of the flourishing. And you know, I just love the idea that when our lives are firmly planted within relationships within this community, it takes a lot to uproot us. You know, because for a plant to be firmly planted, it has to be in one place, in one environment. It has to put down roots. And so when we are planted in God's love, and when we're secure in this family, you know, whatever storms of life, whatever difficult circumstances might come our way, it's not going to be easy to uproot us. And the promise is that we will weather those storms well. The third reason we need to be invested in communities in this place is because we need to do that in order to show others what God is like. Because each of us has been created in God's image, and therefore we've been called to reflect his nature, his character, to those around us. Jesus himself said, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." We can only actually do this, we can only reflect his nature in and through relationships with one another. You know, when we come together from all our different backgrounds, I think it's really powerful. It's a powerful testimony to the world of the love of our God. It's true to say, though, that love is much more than a feeling. You know, when I was about 14 years old, I was in love with, it's very serious, Jason Donovan. Some of you might have never even heard of Jason Donovan, but literally I was a t-shirt wearing, you know, pencil case holding, posters all over my room. I can remember actually my mum took me to a concert, which was a really big deal because, you know, concert tickets are expensive. And I secretly think she enjoyed it more than me. But, you know, I was really in love with Jason Donovan. But I can remember something really devastating happened one day because there was something awful that I saw in the newspaper about Jason Donovan. He had his hair cut. And all of a sudden, my feelings towards him completely changed. You see, the truth is our feelings are fickle. Our feelings are really fickle. And you know, loving one another is something we do, one, because God commands us to do it, but also we do it through choice. We choose love. And the reality is that our relationships within our families, within this church family, you know, they take some working out. They might not necessarily come easily or come naturally to us. We have to be committed to working it out. James 3:18 says, "You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and with honor." And you know, the Holy Spirit creates fellowship between us, but he only does that with our choices. Paul actually talks of this dual responsibility when he says, "You are joined together with peace through the Spirit, so make every effort to continue together in this way." And I think it's really important for us to realize that it takes both the Holy Spirit and our willingness, our choice, to cultivate the kind of relationships that we need, and that actually the world needs to see us as a community have. And so this morning, I just want to touch on five areas, qualities, characteristics, whatever you want to call them, that I think we need to cultivate in our relationships as a church community in order for the world to see the love of God expressed through us. And the first of those is hospitality. Anyone who knows me will know that I love to open up my home to other people. I guess I've kind of inherited hospitality because I think my parents were people that always had kind of an open door. And in fact, it was not uncommon for us to find tents pitched on our front lawn at various different points in time. I would come home from school thinking, "Who's that? Why is that tent there?" And that's because my father had met somebody and invited them to come and kind of, you know, camp. Use the bathroom, my wife will do your washing. But you know, it's in God's nature to give. We have the most generous Father in heaven who has given everything for us. And so similarly, our lives are meant to be flows of blessing to others. And you know, generosity, this is what I've learned, and I think this is really important. I have learned that generosity is never about what you have or what you don't have. It's always about a choice and a heart attitude. Proverbs 22:9 says that he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. And you know, when we choose to be generous, when we have a generous eye, we're people who are quick to see beyond our own needs, to see the opportunities that we have to bless others and those around us. And you know, I really truly believe that hospitality is at the heart of Christian community. If you just read the book of Acts, you see that the early Christians, the early church when it was formed, they opened up their homes to one another on a daily basis. Now, this was partially because they didn't have a building like this, but actually, in essence, they were family with one another. They opened up their homes, shared their resources, shared their food, and shared ultimately their hearts and their lives together. And there was a great blog post I read last week on Facebook by Chloe. I'm not sure if Chloe's here this morning, but thank you, Chloe, for sharing, because it was brilliant. It was actually entitled Scruffy Hospitality. And I thought, something called that, I'm going to have to read it. And it was a blog post by a girl, a Christian girl, who was kind of just trying to wrestle through this idea of, as a Christian, being hospitable, being called to welcome others into her home, but actually who had these ideals that she had to present, like the perfect tidy home, in order to invite others into it. You know, she felt pressured to cook the best meal, you know, Jamie Oliver's latest and greatest, I don't know what it would be. But, you know, there are many things that can kind of prevent us from actually opening up our homes and opening up our hearts and our lives to others. And, you know, it's great to want to cook nice food. My husband cooks nice food. I don't so much. But it's great to want to do that. But actually, if that gets in the way of us from opening up our homes to others, then it can become a problem. And I really, really hope as a church community that we're going to be people who are committed to opening up our homes to one another and inviting one another in. The second quality I think we need to develop in our relationships is authenticity. And, you know, to be authentic, or what I mean by authentic, is to get beyond the surface with people. The Message Bible puts it like this. It says, love one another from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Be good friends who love deeply. I love that verse. You know, in order to live deeply with one another and to love deeply, we have to have some relationships that move beyond the surface of our lives. And, you know, as a community, as a church community, we certainly want to be people who are inclusive of others, who are always friendly and actually always looking for opportunities to include people, especially people we might see who aren't necessarily included. But along with that, we also need to be people who are intentional about building deep relationships with perhaps a few people. This is why we encourage small groups. You know, many of you will be in a small group, many of you will participate in small groups, but we really do encourage small groups because it takes time and intentionality to get to know people. It takes a commitment to coming together. And so small groups are just a great way of actually being able to build the deeper connections that you and I need in order to grow. You know, my experience has been that many people can fellowship with one another, but they share so little of their hearts that nothing ever really changes in their life. And Paul warned the Corinthian church about this in 2 Corinthians 6 when he said, we have spoken freely and not withheld our hearts from you, but you are withholding yours from us. And you know, I think there are many reasons why we do that, many reasons why we can withhold or seek to protect. Perhaps, you know, sometimes we have been hurt in relationships and it makes it really difficult for us to therefore be vulnerable again with other people and to risk what it takes. You know, maybe even within this place you have been hurt, and that makes it difficult for you to build relationships. But I just want to encourage you that actually when you hold back, when you withhold your heart, actually you contain everything that God has for you. You limit the ability that He has to be able to reach those places of your heart that He wants to reach. And so my experience has been that that God has just never let me down in this area, but it has always taken a willingness for me to risk sharing myself and to risk sharing my heart with others. But my experience has been that God never comes up short. He never fails us. And I really believe that we can build a church community where we can be open and real and honest with one another. 1 John 3:18 says, when we practice real love, we live in God's reality. We're able to stretch our hand out, receive what we need as we do what pleases Him. As we love one another, we live deeply in Him. He lives in us, and this is how we experience His deep and abiding presence. Amen. So the third qualities that I hope will define us as a community of people are grace and mercy. Sorry, I've got dry mouth again. I'm going to have another sip. Excuse me. You know, God's community, I really hope, is a place where our mistakes aren't rubbed in our faces, but that they're rubbed out. You know, I don't know about you, but there's nothing worse than maybe failing at something or making a mistake and having somebody constantly remind you about it. You know, it doesn't really encourage you to move beyond that place. And I think it's really important that we're people who learn from our mistakes, that we actually have those around us who are willing to risk and to speak truth to us. But you know, we don't need to dwell there. We don't need to live in condemnation. And there's not one of us who doesn't need to receive grace and mercy, because the truth is we all fail, we all make mistakes, we all get it wrong. And being part of an imperfect church community, I hate to break it to you that if you haven't experienced hurt and pain in this place, then the likelihood is you probably will at some point. Because the truth is, either intentionally or unintentionally, we all hurt people with our words and with our actions. And I really don't mean to make light of it, because it's not funny, it's painful. And I personally have had to process and work through broken relationships within the church community. But we really do need to be people who are quick to forgive, who are quick to get on our knees, and who don't take offense easily. You know, when we fail to take responsibility for our own disappointments or perhaps our own kind of unmet expectations or hurt, actually what happens is that discontentment and resentment and bitterness, they take root in our lives and they start to shape who we are. And that actually ultimately leads us into sinful behavior, which is so far from what God has planned and purposed. And so, you know, if you ever find yourself in that place, I would encourage you to fight the urge within you to disconnect. Just don't do it. Determine to stay rooted, to stay planted, and to actually ask God what he wants to teach you in and through the circumstance that you find yourself in. Because you don't have to do it on your own. You do it with the Holy Spirit and the strength that he is able to give you. The fourth quality that I think as a community we need to cultivate is shared contribution. So, you know, if you think about a healthy family, I think a healthy family is a family where there is an equal sense of giving and receiving. You know, it's not one person over-functioning doing everything and a lot of people under-functioning doing nothing. You know, I think a healthy family is a place where people are genuinely for one another. They genuinely want to see the best for one another. They are the first to encourage, the first to offer strength, to lend their strength to each other. You know, in the New Testament, over 50 times we're commanded to do things, to serve one another. The Bible says we should make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Paul said to us, I want us to help each other with the faith that we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. You know, what a great environment to be in. A family who are literally like one another's cheerleaders, being the first to offer encouragement and help. And you know, similarly, in a family, I think there needs to be a shared sense of responsibility and accountability. You know, in a family, I think everybody would know their role, everybody would know their function, everyone would know what they can contribute, and they would be free to contribute it. You know, we are really blessed in this church community to have so many faithful volunteers who contribute what they can to the greater whole, to the church body. And the truth of the matter is, there is much need in that place too. You know, we have lots of people that serve, but we also have need. And in order for the body to function and to do what it's being called to do, it takes all of us to contribute what we have and to ask God to show us where it is we need to be contributing. Ephesians 6:16 says that as each of us contributes what we have, the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And you know, I think just as it's frustrating to have a family member that doesn't do, you know, perhaps a teenager that's not doing what they've been asked to, who's can put your hand up and say they've got one of those? Not yet. But you know, it's frustrating, isn't it, when somebody's not contributing what they have to give. And I think it's the same with the body of Christ. So You know, when we fail to contribute what's ours, the whole body suffers as a consequence. And finally, I think the final thing that we need to be mindful of as a community, mindful, is that we need to gather together regularly. We need to be committed to meeting with one another. The Bible actually tells us to not grow weary in doing this, to continue to do it. And, you know, if really we really want to be found in his home, if we really want to belong in this family, then we have to be intentional in building relationships in this place. And we have to know that that takes time and it takes commitment. Because real life transforming community is never going to be built on our convenience. It's never going to be built on turning up just when I feel like it or when it kind of is most convenient for me. Let's be people who understand the value of one another, that understand what God is building in and through this church community, and who are people that want to be part, who want to belong, and who want to contribute what they have. And so I'm going to ask the band to come up and lead us in our final worship song this morning. And I think, you know, as the band lead us and play, you know, I don't know where you're at. I don't know how long you've been part of this community. Perhaps belonging is a really difficult area for you. Perhaps you've been coming to this church for some time, but you don't really feel connected to others in relationship, and you don't feel like you belong. Then I would encourage you this morning, as we're worshiping, just be honest and real with God about where you're at. You know, we have a gentle Father. He's not going to push us to do something that we're uncomfortable with. But I also know that he's always wanting us to lean in, to lean closer to him in relationship and closer to others too. So let's stand and let's worship together this morning.